So a little bit of a trivia contest. This is team one, this is team two. Let's see how you make out. Ready? Who's got a competitive edge this morning? Anybody, you feeling it? All right, here we go. So there are three traditional kings that come to visit the infant Jesus, right? Give me one of them. Gaspar. All right, Gaspar. Good, also known as Casper. Not the friendly ghost, but very good. 1 point on this team. Very good. All right, give me two.
Balthazar.
All right, now she raised her hand, though, so I got to give her credit. It's all fixed anyway. I'm trying to do equal opportunity here, so, but you got it. All right, good. But were you going to say? Oh, you're going for two. Now you're being greedy here. All right. Should that disqualify this side?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, it's the Eucharist, people. I'm not going to start division here, okay? So good. All right. Let's just say it's a tie, shall we? All right, good enough. But here's the tiebreaker. In what scripture are the three kings mentioned? Oh, who said that? All right, you get it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the winning side right here. All right, give them a round of applause. Good, all right. And your grand prize, well, we're on a budget. You'd get no grand prize, so God bless you. Thanks for playing. All right. Yeah, well, that's right. All right, well, here you go, though. Here's the punchline of this, is that they aren't, while they're not mentioned in Scripture, those three kings represent something really important that the church is trying to say. And really, since the medieval times, when those kings were named, it's really trying to point out something that's important for us to remember today. And it's this. That as each of those kings, whether Melchior, who is traditionally representing Asia, or we might have Balthazar, who is traditionally kind of representing the group that would be from Persia, and then, of course, the last one that we have, Casper or Gaspar, is representing Ethiopians. It's pointing clearly to the fact they're not from Israel. They're not from the immediate region here. They are from beyond the ends of the earth. They are reaching the corners of the earth. Why is that important? Because Christ came into the world not for a chosen few, but for the salvation of all. Amen?
Amen?
Now that's important because that's a message we need to hear today. And we need to proclaim boldly and clearly that the light of Christ entered into the darkness of the whole world so that the world may come to know the gift of salvation. And wherever we find ourselves, the ends of the earth, our own little corner of the earth, that gift of salvation needs to be proclaimed. And those kings, if you notice, and this is a good model for evangelization, by the way, they don't stop at Bethlehem and spend the rest of their life there, do they? That's not the point of encountering the Christ. It's that they go somewhere with that encounter, and they're going to return. Now, they get a little guidance, both by a star to lead them. They're following the light to Bethlehem. That's an important piece. But did you notice, though, even after the encounter with Christ, they're even receiving divine inspiration of how to then go back into their lives. And by way of a dream, they're told, don't go back to Herod. Go another route, right? So there is this idea that once we encounter the risen Christ, that we are going to be accompanied by Christ as we leave and go out back into the world and proclaim this good news. And we know this because all of us, we've approached a font through baptism, the holy water of baptism, and we've encountered the risen Christ through that wonderful sacrament. And that continues to be sustained through the gifts of the Holy Spirit at confirmation, the gift of the Holy Eucharist, where again, God finds his dwelling in the midst of his people. And that's especially important for us to remember as we live in today's world, that people still live with that real need of hearing the good news and being radically transformed because of it. This is not a spectator sport, our faith. It is about full active engagement and participation in the mysteries that we celebrate. So, to demonstrate or illustrate how important that responsibility is, on the count of three, I'd like you to just lift up, so we can all hear you, I want you to lift up the town, the city, the village that you currently live in. On the count of three, I want you to just give it a shout out. Are you ready? One. Two. Two and a half. Three. One more time. One more time. All right. A lot of representation here. And as important it is, whether it's from Asia or Persia, Ethiopia, whatever towns, villages that we find ourselves coming from, that message is just as important to go and proclaim the good news as we have encountered the living Christ. And we're far from over celebrating Christmas. Because in the joy of our celebration, the church invites us. We've got another week of celebration. Yeah, this week is going to feel a little funky because now we're going back to school. A lot of kids are going back. We're going back now full. I hope we can handle it. 5-day work week now. You know, good luck to us, right? We've been off for a couple weeks, off schedule. Things are going to feel a little bit more normalized. But for heaven's sakes, don't take down the Christmas lights yet. Don't take down the Christmas decorations yet. How many of you have? You confess, we're amongst friends. All right, now no judgment. Shame. You'll learn next year, right? We've just only begun our celebration on Christmas, and the church gives us this beautiful feast of Holy Family last week, Epiphany this Sunday, and we conclude with the baptism of the Lord. And we bring this to a wonderful, wonderful conclusion. Don't be hesitant in celebrating that Christmas joy, because you know what? We pray for peace on earth, and in recent days, how aware we are of that reality, right? As we're hearing the headlines, we pray for goodness amongst all people, and that we pray for the gift of compassion. And Christmas, the survey says, whether people are Christian or not, it evokes, brings out of us some of the best virtues, doesn't it? And that's something that truly demonstrates people of goodwill striving to make this a blessed time. But let's not let the retail, the market, corporate America dictate when Christmas is over. And quite frankly, that spirit of Christmas, it can't conclude next Sunday. It has to be carried out every day of the year, right? And so we've got a lot of work ahead of us in this new calendar year. Where are we going to be that living light as we have encountered Christ who is that light? Where are we going to take that good news, whether it's in our town, under our roof, our own roof, in our workplaces, in the marketplace? Who needs to hear the invitation, the good news, to come follow that light? So just to make sure we know where we need to go after this encounter with our risen Lord, I want us to do it one more time. Where are you from? One, two, three. One more time. Amen. One last time. And may each of these communities, touched by those of us who have been touched by the risen Lord today, may they experience the light of Christ and live in that light and the peace that can only come from God, who is the Lord, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen.